What's up, everyone, and welcome back to New Release Reactions here on Cinematic Reviews. I'm your host, Chris, and this is a show about all things movie and TV. Every week, I break down and review the newest releases like Insidious, The Red Door, beloved franchises, and even upcoming projects. You can support the show by hitting that follow button on your favorite podcast network, as well as following it on all social media platforms. All those handles can be found on either the Cinematic Reviews Facebook page or the show's website at podpage.com/cinematicreviews. It helps out a lot, and I really do appreciate all the love and support out there from everyone. To kick things off, let's head over to this week's new release report. Welcome to this week's new release report here on Cinematic Reviews. Over on Disney Plus, we have Marvel Studios' Secret Invasion streaming now. Episode 4 arrives this Wednesday. You can get caught up on episodes 1 through 3 today. On Peacock, Kevin Hart's newest stand-up special is streaming now, called Reality Check. Over on Prime Video, we have Jack Ryan, the fourth and final season, streaming right now. Episode 5 arrives this Friday. You can get caught up on the first 4 episodes today. On Netflix, The Witcher Season 3 Volume 1 is out now, with Volume 2 arriving on July 27th. And then we also have The Outlaws, starring Adam Devine and Pierce Brosnan, streaming now. This is a newest comedy coming from Netflix. On Apple TV Plus, we have 2 shows going on right now. Hijacked, starring Idris Elba. Catch up on the first 4 episodes today. And then The Crowded Room, starring Tom Holland. Episode 8 arrives this Wednesday. On Hulu, we have The Bear Season 2 streaming right now. You can also get caught up with Season 1 as well. And then on VOD, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is out now to own or rent, as well as The Blackening, the newest horror comedy, is out to rent or buy as well. And then finally, in theaters, we have Insidious, The Red Door came out this past weekend, which I'll be talking about in just a few moments. Also, Indiana Jones of Dial of Destiny, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Disney Pixar's Elemental, and Transformers Rise of the Beasts are also available in theaters as well. Looking ahead, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 is out on July 12th, which is this Wednesday, so we're only a few days away. Then we have Oppenheimer and Barbie coming out both on July 21st, and then Haunted Mansion on July 28th to wrap out the month of July. Then we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem on August 2nd, followed by Meg 2 The Trench on August 4th. Well, that is this week's new release report here on Cinematic Reviews. Let's head over to our new release reaction for this week. I think I'm getting closer to something, or something is getting closer to me. Insidious, The Red Door is next.
It's not the house that's haunted. It's your son.
There's something in there with him.
There's something wrong with Daddy.
These things are bad, sir.
He's got your pain.
Dalton!
He's got your pain.
Our family has been through a lot together.
You told me that when I was 10. I was in a coma, but I don't remember being sick.
We're ready to forget. Forget. Forget.
Ever since then, I see crazy stuff in my dreams.
Those are not dreams. It's happening again. Something is following us.
I'm going to need you to remain still.
Hello? Hello?
The further you travel, the riskier the journey becomes.
Insidious, The Red Door was released on July 7th. The film stars Ty Simpkins returning as Dalton, Patrick Wilson returning as Josh, Rose Byrne returning as Renee, and franchise newcomer Sinclair Daniel as Chris Winslow. The film was directed by Patrick Wilson, making his directorial debut. He is best known for acting in films such as The Conjuring, Annabelle, Aquaman, Watchmen, and of course, the Insidious franchise. The film has grossed over $64 million worldwide against an estimated $16 million budget. It made $32 million on opening day alone. The trailer says 10 years later, but the film actually states 9 years later. In one scene, Rose Byrne refers to the events of the second film as a decade ago, so the timeline isn't really definite. I personally just refer to it as 10 years later because Chapter 2 was released 10 years ago. The song featured at the end of the film is called Stay. It was performed by Ghost and features Patrick Wilson, the director and star of the film. And then lastly, the college that Dalton attends in the film is named after Jane Pierce, a former first lady who would hold seances in the White House to communicate with her dead son. So I am a big fan of the Insidious franchise. I remember watching the first film back in 2010 and just being stunned by how scary and awesome it was. Then Chapter 2 came out in 2013 and blew my mind again. Chapter 3 and The Last Key is where the franchise kind of lost me. I was not a big fan of those two prequels. This is a franchise that got honestly kind of worse with each installment until The Red Door. I thought this new installment was actually really awesome and a fitting end to the Lambert trilogy. Do we really need another conclusion to the Lambert story? No. Am I glad Blumhouse turned it into a trilogy? Absolutely. It was awesome. So it's been a decade since the events of Chapter 2. Renee and Josh are now divorced and Dalton is heading to college. The film opens with the Lamberts attending the funeral for Josh's mom, who was a key element in the first two films. It makes sense, though. You know, something tragic needed to happen in order to kind of kickstart the events of this film. So why not have a family member unfortunately die to cause some suffering? Plus, it's been 10 years. So, I mean, timeline-wise, it makes sense for Josh's mom to not make it this far in the story. Things really start ramping up, though, once Dalton attends his first art class at college. That was where the first big jump scare of the film happens. And it honestly startled me a bit. Most of the jump scares actually did get me throughout the film, which is impressive. I haven't really been that startled since the first Insidious film. I'm usually not one to get startled during a horror film because I've seen so many throughout the years. I've kind of been desensitized by it. So actually being startled in the theater was even more of a greater experience for me. It was just really, really enjoyable in a kind of weird way. Now, if you remember at the end of Chapter 2, Josh and Dalton have their memories wiped so that they can move on from the events that have just happened. This unfortunately causes Renee and Josh to split sometime between Chapter 2 and this film. Eventually, Renee comes clean about it all once Josh starts to have memories kind of pieced together in his brain. We get flashbacks from Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, as well as him experiencing the Further and the entities that live there throughout the film. That scene in the hospital when Josh is in the MRI machine was freaking wild. I'm never going inside an MRI machine ever after seeing this scene. No freaking way, man. That scene was just intense as hell for me. I don't think I'll ever draw again either. I don't want my sketches coming to life like Dalton experienced in this film. At the end of the film, Josh and Dalton are able to finally close the red door that we have seen throughout the franchise. They do this once and for all in a very, very intense scene where we see them holding back the red-faced demon that we were presented to in the first film, and then he has kind of pop-upped throughout the franchise. It was awesome seeing it back, even though it looks still terrifying as hell with the hooves for feet and the red face. He looks pretty much like Darth Maul's evil brother. He's got the horns, he's got the tail, he's got the tongue. It's really a frightening image. This was an incredibly made film, and it's an awesome entry into the Insidious universe. I was really surprised by how much I enjoyed it. The jump scares hit just as hard as the first two films, and the music is awesome. Once again, the music has always stuck with me in this universe, and The Red Door made that connection even stronger. I just love the music in all these films. There were a ton of callbacks from the previous films as well, including, of course, the music. We had some more time travel in this installment as well. I love how they were able to pull that off with Dalton going back to that big scene in the basement in Chapter 2. If you know me, I love a good time travel bit in films. I'm always a huge sucker for nostalgia, so that all worked for me in this film. And the cast was really awesome. Time Simpkins has really grown up in the past 10 years. I've only seen him in a couple of things since Chapter 2. He had a very brief cameo at the end of Avengers Endgame in 2019. He, of course, played little kid in Iron Man 3 alongside Robert Downey Jr. He was able to come back for that quick cameo at Iron Man's funeral in Endgame. He also popped up in last year's The Whale alongside Brendan Fraser. I'm looking at his IMDb page right now, and I totally forgot that he was in Jurassic World. I hope this film and this franchise as a whole kind of just catapults him even into even more mainstream projects. He was really good in this, along with the rest of the cast. Patrick Wilson was awesome once again, and this time he wears two hats, one as an actor and as director. I think he did an incredible job directing this film. I hope this too opens the door for him to direct more films, because he seems to know what he's doing, especially when it comes to horror. Rose Byrne has a much lesser role in this installment. It's mainly about the relationship between not only Josh and Dalton, but also Josh and his estranged father. It was great to finally get some answers on Josh's dad after all these years, but Rose Byrne was still great, like she always is. I'm a huge fan of hers. My favorite of her performances is probably in Neighbors alongside Seth Rogen, but she's really awesome in this universe as well. Then we have newcomer Sinclair Daniels, who plays Dalton's college roommate. Chris was great. She was very charismatic and funny. I really liked her relationship with Dalton throughout the film, especially when they go to the frat party and they start to kind of connect. Everyone's just really great in this film, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. Just, we even get more cameos from Specs and Tucker, who have their own paranormal YouTube kind of show. And then we also get some more Elise, who was played again by the very talented Lynn Shay. I'm really glad all three of them came back after all these years. They've been, especially in the prequels, they've been kind of the knots that hold together this universe. I think they've popped up in all the films so far. So it's really cool to get cameos from them. But yeah, I really, really, really like this film. I think it was awesome. It's definitely a 4-star film for me. It's not quite on the same level as the first two films, but it's very, very, very close. I liked it a lot more than the two prequels for sure, though. And I will get into that more during the ranking segment of today's episode after a quick break. Check out the Fast and Furious season going on right now. Every week I break down and review every installment in the beloved franchise. The Fast and the Furious episode is out now, with Too Fast, Too Furious coming later this week. So check out the Fast and Furious season today, only on Cinemac Reviews. On the next New Release Reactions episode, it's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Ethan Hunt returns with his IMF team to stop a world-ending weapon from falling into the wrong hands. The next installment of the Mission Impossible franchise arrives July 12th. In the meantime, you can check out the Mission Impossible season in the Cinematic Reviews library today on your favorite podcast network. So I've got the Insidious rankings pulled up here. I haven't done a season yet on this, but I would love to do one in the near future on this franchise for the podcast. But this is where the rankings are sitting at right now. At number one, it's Insidious. It's the first film of the franchise. It is one of the greatest horror films made in the last 20 years. It's just truly a phenomenal film. At number two, it's Insidious Chapter 2. This is the second half of the story that was presented back in 2010. Not as great as that film, but it's a really, really incredible follow-up to it. And then at number three, we have Insidious Chapter 3. This is the first of the two prequels that were made. Was not a huge fan of it. I rewatched all these films this past weekend, and I did like it a little bit more than I did when it came out, but it's still quite a few steps down from the first two films. And then at number four, it's Insidious, The Last Key. This is the most recent installment before The Red Door came out. This was a kind of a tie-in with the first Insidious film. It kind of sets up where the Elise character's mind was at when she got the call about Dalton in the first film. But still not quite on that level of the first two films, of course. But I still, just like Chapter 3, I liked it a lot more during my rewatch this past weekend. So where does The Red Door fit into here? I am going to put it as the new number three. Like I said, it is not quite on the same level as the first two. It's going to be very, very hard to kind of top the incredibleness that was not just, you know, the first film, but also Chapter 2, which still has, I have a couple issues with it, but it's still really, really great. But yeah, I was just really impressed with how The Red Door turned out, with Patrick Wilson taking on as director for the very first time. The cast was incredible. The jump scares were really cool. Just a great horror film in general and a great installment to this very underrated franchise. This is probably one of the more forgotten horror franchises. It kind of gets overshadowed by the behemoth that is the Conjuring universe. You know, The Conjuring, Annabelle, The Nun. We have The Nun 2 coming out later this year to kind of expand that universe more. But I honestly prefer Insidious more than Conjuring. I love The Conjuring. I think it's an incredible horror franchise. I just really, really love this Insidious part of Blumhouse. And from what it sounds like, the Lambert story is over with The Last Door, but they are going to do some more spinoffs, whether it's prequels or if it's Specs and Tucker show. I think that would be awesome if we got a trilogy or even a TV series of, you know, Specs and Tucker, just, you know, every episode going house to house, case to case, and just kind of solving cases. Or do we get more prequels with Lynn Shea's character? I guess, no pun intended, but the door is pretty much open to Blumhouse on how they want to expand this universe. But it sounds like they really want to invest more into this franchise with the immense box office numbers coming from The Red Door look very promising. So I would not be surprised if we get some announcements of some spinoffs coming from this universe. So that is where the Insidious rankings are sitting at right now. Like I said, I would love to do a season on it and then kind of revisit The Red Door as well on a rewatch. Maybe next year or a couple of years down the road, I will include this into the Cinematic Reviews library. But so for one more time, this is where the rankings are. At number one, I have Insidious, followed by Insidious Chapter 2 at the second spot. And then we have Insidious The Red Door at 3, Insidious Chapter 3 at 4. And then at the last one is Insidious The Last Key. You can find this list on both IMDb and Letterboxd. All you have to do is just search for Cinematic Reviews. Well, that'll do it for this week's Insidious-filled new release reactions episode. Tune in next week for the reaction episode of Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. Also, check out the Fast and Furious season every week on the show. Later this week, I'll be breaking down and reviewing Too Fast, Too Furious, this Paul Walker-led sequel. Later, everyone.